right. Let me tell you a little bit about Dr. Malachi Martin, for those of you who just joined. Malachi Martin, ex-Jesuit, former exorcist, one-time advisor to three popes, presently a best-selling author. As a premier investigator of clandestine politics, unlikely alliances of popes and cardinals, his novels offer rare insights into the men who guide nearly a billion people in faith and broker the destinies of countries and continents. As a member of the Vatican Intelligence Network under Pope John the 23rd, Martin helped extend the church into Iron Curtain countries. In 1964, concerned about the corrupting influences of power, Martin was released from his vows of poverty and obedience after 25 years as a Jesuit. He left Rome for New York, where he did odd jobs until a Guggenheim Fellowship enabled him to write his first bestseller, Hostage to the Devil. It was followed by the final conclave, Vatican. Three popes and the cardinal, the keys of this blood, the Jesuits, and many, many more. Born, by the way, in Kerry, Ireland in 1921. He has done many, many exorcisms, and that is generally what we're talking about right now, and possession. I'm trying to understand possession. And we left off last hour talking about the fact that it apparently is generational. Doctor, generational possession.
Yes. Let me explain that. It's not that possession is passed on with semen, passed on with genes. No. It's that the same demon inhabits the members of the same family for generations, consentingly, consensually. He is nourished by them and kept by them and satisfied with them. The children are trained in it, and they perpetuate it in their children. It has gone on for generations. It's generational. And sometimes unwillingly, we have cases in hand, for instance, of daughters to whom their mother attached her familiar, her evil spirit, and then we have the job of ridding them of that. And it takes time, and it's painful and anguishing.
How does a person know? I mean, is in the mind or the soul of the possessed?
Yes.
Is there always knowledge of that possession?
There is. But it can be limited knowledge, and can also be inhibited knowledge. Some of them can't even tell you about it. Some of them can. It depends on the particular type of demon. There are many types of demons. Some of them are quite intelligent. Some of them are very stupid. Most of them are specialized in one thing and one thing only, and that's all they can do. And it's a reflection of some gift as angels which they had, now distorted as demons. And in these matters, as in everything connected with it, go to the experts. Don't try and do it yourself.
Yes.
And then do not... there's a big confusion out which we should clear up for everybody, and it's this. There are many healers and deliverance experts, and many people will undergo lengthy prayers and incensings and various ceremonies. But the truth is this. The horrible truth is this, that if there is a demon in your life and he dictates your behavior, at least in one province of life, one area of life, he can only be expelled by direct confrontation, by somebody with authority to expel him. Now, so when I say him, of course, spirits have no sex. They're not male or female. I just use him in the generic sense of the English word. But it's the confrontation. It's not a prayer. Gee whiz, if it was a prayer, it would be very simple to get rid of.
All right, this is something I want to ask about, yes. if I might for a moment, Doctor.
Sure, sure.
I had a call a couple of weeks ago from a woman who yes. said that she had been in bed, believe this, with her children yes. one night, and she was attacked, Doctor, attacked by some sort of demon or spirit that was actually waiting upon her actually trying to sodomize and and rape her.
Sure.
And she was unable to speak, unable to move, unable to utter anything. And in the middle of this attack, the phone rang, the answering machine came on, somebody's voice began speaking, and whatever it was, left. Now, she said that the only way this thing would leave, and she had been attacked many times, was if she audibilized, some sort of something, and she said, I sat there and I prayed and I asked God to cast off whatever this was, and it would not go. And my question was, and I pondered after the call, it was a very serious, very scary call, and I pondered afterwards, if God hears our prayers, those cast silently forward, then why would God not hear a silent plea, a scream, as it were? Why must something like this be audibilized?
There are mysteries about this entire situation to which we have no answer. But there are laws, he has set up laws governing the existence of man and woman, and one of them is that audibilizing something does make a difference. And it can be as simple as this, that the attention that a demon requires of the possessed person, or the person they're going to violate, can be that possession can be distracted. Their will can be diverted, their mind can be diverted from being, as it were, hypnotized, being held by some audible voice message from another normal human being. And God knows what grace of God that voice brings with them. But that it does happen, that audibilization does have an influence, there's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it.
And there's no specific answer as to
why. No specific answer. And you know, Art, there's the biggest problem is, who is possessible? People are always asking me, am I liable to be possessed? And we have tried to create a profile of the possessable person, but we have found that neither sex, nor education, nor color, nor race, nor education, nor riches, nor poverty, nothing makes a difference. It's apparently, to our mind, it's random. Random choice. I know very naughty people who are not a bit possessed, but just very naughty men and women. And then I know people who are not naughty at all, but lapse in one thing, and they do undergo possession.
Knowing the nature of humans, if somebody has made, in effect, a pact with the devil, is it not more likely that those cases of possession would more frequently than not be the rich, the powerful, those who have attained great material success or wealth?
You would think so, Art, but de facto, no.
No.
Poor people, people with very little social resonance, people occupying very obscure positions in the social ladder. Everybody is susceptible to some ambition, something they want, either for revenge or for self-satisfaction or for self-advancement.
Yes.
And everybody is liable.
So the pact could be something as simple as the wanting or the wishing of a mate, or the attention of somebody of the opposite sex, or
that's right, to get married.
To get married.
To get this man, to get this woman.
Yes.
You see, for instance, if I could do this, now I want to take the following example, but with great care. Do you remember Susan Smith?
Yes.
Drowned her two children?
Of course.
Now, for an exorcist, the pattern is very clear. The children were in her way.
Yes.
Of her ambition, whatever that ambition was. It concerned a young man.
Yes, it did.
And an exorcist could say about that, it was obvious that they were used as obstacles, they were used by Satan to possess her will and make her commit the grievous sin of matricide. Because she was convicted of that anyway, so I'm not accusing her of anything that she's not convicted of.
Of course not.
But that would be read by an exorcist as a typical example of possession of the will of somebody to commit a very evil act just for the sake of doing evil, because that's the whole point of the demon, to do evil for the sake of evil.
Should somebody like you have consulted with Susan Smith?
Well, if I was asked to. Generally, we people, we, we, we're very chary about intervening at all, and there's enough work on our plate to keep us going. But yes.
Can somebody, doctor, of any faith be possessed?
Yes, of any faith. Doesn't matter. Of no faith at all.
Would a Catholic priest perform an exorcism on a non-Catholic?
Yes, he would, and we do. We do. Now, it's much more difficult because you can't call on their faith. Except faith, they generally emerge from an exorcism, a successful exorcism, with a tremendous faith in God. Not necessarily Catholic faith, but faith in God.
Speaking for the layman, there are many people walking around listening right now who are no doubt scared to death because at one time or another in their life, they have probably, in a moment of despair or a moment of need, said, I'd make a pact with the devil if I could just have so-and-so. And they're probably thinking at this moment, there's a pretty good chance they may be possessed.
You can't be possessed without knowing it. And you can't be possessed against your will. You may wish all day and all night for the devil to come and sign a pact with you, as it were, a Faustian thing, principle, like Mephistopheles in the play of Goethe. But it can't happen without your knowing it and without you willing it fully, finally fully, bit by bit by bit. So that you needn't be afraid that you're possessed and you don't know it. No, that doesn't happen.
Well, are there not, though, no doubt, many people who have achieved success or achieved that goal for which they made that dark wish, that moment, and they certainly must wonder.
No, they know.
They know.
They know. They know. They know full well. And that's the darkest secret of their life.
The dark,
that,
indeed.
That sets them apart from wife or husband or lover or mistress, or brother, or sister.
And you say you have seen these people. You know these people when you see them.
Oh, yes, you do. You meet them in the street. You meet them in cocktail parties. You meet them at dinner parties. You meet them at meetings and conventions. And, of course, I must tell you that I get out of their way. I have enough of it. I don't want to confront them. I don't want to have anything to do with them, unless I have to professionally.
Doctor, Catholic priests, how many Catholic priests are capable of or do within the church exorcisms?
Nowadays are, unfortunately, a minimum. As you know, in the last 25 or 30 years, belief in the devil, belief in evil incarnate, in an evil spirit, belief in hell, a belief in the demons, the existence, and the activity, say, of Lucifer and of Satan. They're distinct demons, by the way. People often confuse them, but they're distinct demons. Belief in that has flagged, has got very weak. Mm. And the result is that when we started doing a lot of exorcisms here in the northeast corner of America in the 1970s, we finally had to go to Rome and ask permission because the local bishops, some of them didn't believe. So we went to Rome and said, look, these people, we need authority, because, by the way, nobody can do an exorcism without being given authority. And it must be a bishop gives authority. So we had to go and get special permission from Rome to do it, because we couldn't get it here. Now, some bishops do believe, some bishops don't believe, some priests do believe, some priests don't believe. Most of them want to have nothing to do with it. They know little and they want to know less. That's really, and some bishops, some cardinals we know, say, look, don't bother me. You have all the authority you want, but don't tell me a thing about it. I don't want to have anything to do with it at
all. Possibly the source of the hear no evil, see no evil.
That's part of it. That's part of it. Because if you have to take into account that so-and-so, this political leader, this particular borough leader, this particular CEO is possessed, it does complicate life, Arthur. If a big surgeon, a big psychiatrist, is by way of demonically possessed, it makes a huge difference.
Can a person of faith be possessed?
Can any person of faith be possessed?
Can a person of great faith be possessed?
No. No. without the renouncing, the time comes when you're asked to make a change. You can't be possessed against your will, and if your will is strong in your faith, you can't be possessed. You can be obsessed, you can be bothered, you can
yes.
be harassed.
Yes.
And harassed terribly. And the major portion of cases that occupy my daily dealing with this are cases of obsession and harassment. And they're terribly distressing.
What about the demographics of possession? We saw The Exorcist. Can a child be possessed?
No, except unless in exceptional cases you have children born and quickly developing at the age of 4, 5 with a will as strong as a person of 25, really.
Mm-hmm.
And they can undergo possession, but it's rare. It's very rare. They can be harassed and obsessed, and that's usually generationally on account of the parents, on account of an aunt, on account of an uncle.
How, let's see, what's the right word? What word am I looking for? In a generational case of possession,
mm-hmm.
does the parent actively actively teach this child dark ways?
They assign the child to their demon. They're satisfied with that. The demon becomes what they call a familiar of theirs. And they give it a name. They call it Philip. They call it George. They call it John. They call it James. They call it Mary. Whatever. And they assign the child to it. They teach the child to do obeisance to it. And they make the child participate in ceremonies. Say, Satanist ceremonies.
Wow. There's a lot of that going on in America today?
A lot. It's very hard to say a lot. That it goes on continually and sustainedly in certain areas, yes. And whether it's Boston or whether it's Montana or California or New Mexico, the place doesn't matter. The place doesn't matter. There, I must confess to you that there is a lot of very impressive generational cases are found or have been found, not all, but a lot of such cases have been found amongst old American families.
The old traditional...
Yeah. The old
originally came over on the Mayflower kind of American families?
That sort of business, yes. It's a murky story and has never been written up properly, mainly because, well, it concerns family genealogies, you know, and it's hard to write that up and get it published, and then what's the point? But you come across generational possession and harassment, but possession too, in such families, such old families, whether they're Dutch Reformed or whether they're Puritan or whatever.
I suppose getting it in print, one reason might be the truth, Doctor. All right, I meant to ask you about an actual exorcism. When we come back, go ahead and relax. We will do that then.
Okay.
All right, Dr. Malachi Martin is my guest. A warning for you, it's probably going to get a little rough. We'll be right back.